welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead and get started this morning on a story with a story about a guy who starts out with the name of Saul, but we'll see that eventually an interesting thing is going to happen to this guy named Saul on the way to Damascus one day. Starts out in Acts chapter 9, verse 1. It says, "Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus on his mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' Saul asked, and the voice replied, 'I'm Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.' The men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, 'Ananias.' 'Yes, Lord,' he replied. The Lord said, 'Go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. I've shown him in a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again.' 'But Lord,' exclaimed Ananias, 'I've heard many people talk about this, the terrible things this man has done to believers in Jerusalem, and he's authorized by the leading priests to arrest everyone who calls upon your name.' But the Lord said, 'Go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to the kings, as well as to the people of Israel, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake.' So Ananias went, found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who has appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. Afterward, he ate some food and regained his strength." Quite a story. So here's a guy, again, just 19 verses ago, who starts out with his mission in life to destroy the church. In fact, later in one of his epistles, he will self-describe as the chiefest of sinners. Think, wow, Paul, you're the chiefest of sinners. What did you do? What was your addiction? What was your problem? You know, he was the chiefest of sinners. It wasn't just about regular, you know, flesh stuff that you might think of. And his mission, his goal was to destroy the work of the cross. He wanted to take away the gospel from mankind. He wanted to undermine, to discredit. That was his goal, to the point where he was responsible for the first martyrs of the church. I mean, he was just, people laid his coat, his feet, you know, with the first stoning of Stephen. And he was totally fine with it. He just had that kind of a hatred toward Christianity. And so he's on a mission. He is on a mission to destroy the church. And on his mission, he gets this amazing visitation. He gets amazing visitation from the Lord where he says, "Who are you, Lord?" He says, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." So here we see that Saul comes face to face with Jesus. And Saul is the guy who would later be referred to as Paul, the Apostle Paul. He actually had a dual citizenship, so he had two names, Saul and Paul. And so later on, when he, especially as he became a missionary to the Gentiles, he took upon that the Paul name, which would be more recognizable by the Gentiles in that day. So, but he is the same guy who wrote half the books of our New Testament. But he started out as somebody who wanted to destroy Christianity. What an amazing contrast. And something happened from the time he started out to try to destroy the church. He got a visitation from Jesus. He had a face-to-face encounter, as it were, you know, from the voice and the spirit encounter with Jesus, to where he realized this was Jesus. And of course, you know, when the spirit began to speak to Ananias and say, hey, go and minister to that Saul guy, Ananias, you can understand why he pushed back. Saul already had a reputation of being this bad dude who has just had it out for the Christians. So, you know, Ananias is arguing with the Lord a little bit too to make sure the Lord knew what he wanted him to do, to make sure the Lord was clear on that. Of course, the Lord was. And by the end of the story, he goes and tells Ananias, you know, how he's going to use Saul. And then, of course, Ananias receives healing from the scales, receives the Holy Spirit, ate food, regained his strength, and then he just is on fire for God ever since. I mean, he just lives all out for Jesus, you know, in an amazing way. So quite a story, quite a powerful story of transformation, transition. But what I want to look at in this story as we see it, Saul asks a really good question. He says, who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus. Now get up, go to the city, you'll be told what you must do. Now, what's interesting here is he did not tell Saul what he wanted him to do. He just told him to go into the city, and he told Ananias what Saul was going to do. Isn't that interesting? And so Saul's job was just go to Damascus, go into the city. Ananias's job was go to Saul, and he could impart to him the words that he got from the Lord as he laid his hands on him and received strength. Now, it's interesting how God did that in Saul's life. He didn't just say, I'm Jesus, this is who you are, this is what you're going to do. No, he said, you go over here, he deals with Ananias, and he gets it done in that roundabout way. But we see Paul transitioning from hater of the church ultimately to a chief apostle of the church. But in between, there is instructions, navigating things. There's a navigation in that transition. Paul goes through a major transition in life. And as we're getting ready to just delve into the message this morning, that is where we're going. We're going transitions of life. It would be really cool if God just said, go here, there, there, you know, one, two, three, four. A lot of times, it just isn't that simple. Even in the great Apostle Paul's life, when he was confronted on that road to Damascus, he knew he saw Jesus, and he knew he needed to go into the city. That's all he knew. And so many times with our life, as we're navigating transitions, and it's big stuff. I mean, it can be big stuff, it can be little stuff, you know, but so many times, God's going to just give us something to do. And there's going to be things that we come face to face with, and we just don't know what to do next. And, you know, just from, I know, hearing hearts and things going on and things that we've experienced and people that we know and love and fellowshipping with, this time of year especially can be a huge year of time of transition where we're getting ready to do stuff. We're getting ready to go from one thing to another thing. You know, I always kind of humorously remember that little diagram when Julie and I, you know, as we were going through the classes, the childbirth classes, different things like that, I think we had the Bradley ones, and they'd have the three little phases of pregnancy. It would be like the early phase with a smiley face. Let's say, yippee, I'm in labor, finally. And then you had the active phase where it's kind of a contemplating look like, this is really kind of hard work. And then you got the transition phase, where it's like, all right, I'm ready to go home now. This was fun. All right, I'm just, you know, it's like, and a lot of times when we're dealing with stuff like that too, even in our life, it is kind of like that where we can feel like, okay, transition, yippee, I got a word from God, I'm going to go, awesome. And then all of a sudden you're kind of getting ready to go and planning to go, and it's like, this is kind of work, you know? And then it's like transition, you step into some stuff, and gee, did God call me to do this, or I'm ready to go back home to where I was? As we're navigating stuff and transition things, these are just things that we all deal with. It's all stuff and seasons and phases and things that we've got to kind of navigate. There's transitions in life. And it's so good to know that we're not alone. Jesus said, when he, the Holy Spirit, has come, he will guide you into all truth, and he will abide with you forever. Isn't that amazing? The Holy Spirit is with you now and forever. Even when you die, even when you depart to be with Christ, even when your spirit goes, you don't go alone. The Holy Spirit's still with you. He is in your spirit. That's an experience you experience with the Holy Spirit, even in your departure to be with Christ. You're never alone. If you're a Christian, you will never be alone again. The Holy Spirit is always with you. We do things that can make us more or less sensitive to his presence, but whether we're more or less sensitive to his presence, he's still there. That's why just stirring up spiritual things makes us more aware of his presence. It's always been there. But it's important to know in these transitions of life, he's there. He's there with you. And so we're going to just kind of look at together just some basic things, you know, that we can do to just kind of help navigate some of these transitions, some of these things that are so familiar and yet they're different, unique with our lives, but yet they're so similar in terms of how we work with God to navigate through them. And so the first one is what I simply call pray, ask the obvious. You find out with God, he's not impressed with our intellect. He's not impressed with our intelligence. He's not impressed with our influence or our money or what we can do for him. He gets us to a place of humbling ourselves to where we, like with childlike faith, simply acknowledge him. Carla had a great message last Sunday about just, do I trust you, Lord? Acknowledging God in those ways. It really is. Man, that is step number one of transition. It's simply asking the obvious. And sometimes you might be obsessing over something, and I've done this, and this is why I put it as first one. I think I've thought about this, I've asked people about it, I've called about this, but have I really prayed about this? It's like the obvious, it's the elephant in the room that I've done everything except pray about. And so many times when it comes to transition, that's the first question we want to ask ourselves when we deal with things that we have questions about. Have I specifically prayed about this? And so what is prayer? Prayer is simply asking the obvious. Matthew 7:7-8, Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Here's something, and I'm just giving you some practical stuff as far as my own navigating things like this. You may pray, and there's some things that you just pray daily about, okay? Because you're needing wisdom. That's where some of the other translations that bring it out in the Amplified will say, ask and keep on asking. You know, it's seek and keep on seeking. There's a diligently seeking him because we believe that there's an answer that he has for us in that. As you begin to pray about stuff, the same thing. Sometimes it's the same thing. You're praying about, God, give me direction. God, give me wisdom. Show me how to do this. And you're praying according to what you know. And then you get a little bit more revelation, a little bit more insight, and God will expand your prayer. You're kind of praying the same thing, but you're praying a little bit more nuance. You're praying, you're bringing some more things into it. Lord, if there's somebody that you want to show through, you know, if there is any kind of an influence or godly influence or godly counsel that you have for me, show me that. If there's something you want to just show me by your spirit, show me in your word. But you begin to expand even as you're praying about something. You know, and God will begin to show you and begin to give you more clarity and focus. In other words, what I'm saying is, even as you're praying about something, there can become more focus in prayer. As you're praying about something, listen to the Holy Spirit even as you're praying. Because the Holy Spirit can show you things and even how to pray. But he says, ask, seek, knock. Sometimes it's just simply acknowledging the elephant in the room, whatever that transition is. And, you know, transitions are huge. Changing schools, jobs, churches, getting married, having children, leaving home, taking care of people, losing a loved one, going from glory to glory. And God just calls you to another place in Him. That's transition. Like we said, nobody can take your life. You lay it down of your own free will. Nobody can offer your body a living sacrifice. You lay it down of your own free will. Sometimes there's transitions there too that don't even involve moving geographically. It's just places that God is calling you to in Him. That's like, okay, Lord, show me. What do you want me to do? But the first thing to do is, first things first, is simply asking the obvious. Ephesians 1 says, I don't cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what are the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe. So in other words, there's an intentionality of asking for wisdom, of asking for revelation. And I love that, you know, ask and keep on asking. And I've kind of related this before. Many times, as you're asking, you're listening. You're asking, you're listening. You know, I'd say in the olden days, in the 70s, when you had disc jockeys and you would call into the station, you'd ask them to play your song. And then you would listen on the radio for your song. Pilot of the airways, this is my request. Some of you might get that. You don't have to play it, but I hope you do your best. You would literally call in, and you would listen for your song. And many times when you're seeking guidance and things like that, there is a diligence where you're asking, but you're listening, and you're listening. And sometimes you're going to get stuff the next day, whatever it is, but eventually you know God is going to play that song. God is going to reveal to you what that is. And as He's revealing stuff to you, there's some important things that we've got to realize, too, as He's as he's communicating things to us. This is just another prayer along these lines. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, don't cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. When I see this scripture, it just excites me to know that this is the will of God. To be filled with the knowledge of His will. That's the heart of God. That we would just know that there would be a wisdom and a spiritual understanding. That you would get it, that you would understand some things. You know, as I look at this, and I just think of moments in my life when I've been praying and seeking God and different things like that. There have been times when it's like, Lord, I don't know what to do next. And the Lord has dealt with me in some of these places. He's taken me back in these points to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Then He restores my soul, and then He leads me into paths of righteousness for His namesake. Sometimes when I'm wanting to know things, God is going to, and it just depends on where I'm at, all right? Sometimes before I can get it, I have to lay down first. I have to lay down a little bit. I got to come aside. I got to just love the Lord. I just got to get in His presence. I've just got to rejoice in my salvation. You know, one time the disciples came and they said, man, demons are subject to us. He said, don't rejoice that demons are subject to you. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Rejoice in your salvation. There is a joy of the Lord. There is a joy in Him. Praise God. Because we can get the cart before the horse and all of a sudden we're trying to do stuff for God. No, He's going to co-labor with us as we get our hearts right and get it in sync. So sometimes, as you're navigating transitions, God, as you're praying, He's going to lead you, make you lie down in some green pastures, lead you beside some still waters. Sometimes He'll just have you stir up some things. He'll have you go back to some places that you've already been. I'll tell you what, I've had revivals in my life because I happened to stumble across an old journal and thought, wow, this is good. I wrote this? Man, wow. Come on, Ed. Where are you? What's going on here? Get back here. You know, you can get some places in the Lord that you God will just bring you back to. And it's like, wow, God loves me. I can hear from God. I just want that daily walk with the Lord again. That's what I want. Just when we're hanging out, that's what I want. Praise God. I remember when I was seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, speaking in tongues, that's really foreign, weird. I was raised Lutheran. I wasn't raised in that. So it was like, talk about transition. But I remember I was thinking, I just want to pray in tongues. And it's like, my heart was just, you know. And the Lord just brought me back. He made me lie down in green pastures. He led me beside some still waters. And I just remember, just don't be obsessing over that. And I just remember telling the Lord, I remember I just had this time. He was just drawing me back to this sweet, close fellowship. It's like, oh, Lord, I just love you. I pray. You know, just so good. I'm just so good to be hanging out with you. I said, I don't care if, you know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit thing. I just want this. I just want my fellowship with you. And that night, I was just worshiping God, and all of a sudden, my hallelujahs turned into words that I had never heard before. It was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I had to lay down in some green pastures. I had to get led beside some still waters. I had to get my heart right with the Lord and in the right place. And from that, it just flowed out. Just natural, you know, just the flowing of the Holy Spirit. But sometimes as God's transitioning you from one thing to another, you're not going to always get that answer. There's going to be a process because he loves you and he wants to walk with you. And there's a joy that he has when you know that you're walking with him and that he loves you and you know he loves you. And there's a sweet fellowship there. That's the best. That's the most important thing. Because whatever you do for God has to come from that place. That was Jesus' entire ministry. His entire ministry was this, walking with the Father. Saying what he heard the Father say, doing what he saw the Father do. Everything came out of that. And as we're growing in God and as we're walking and even navigating the seasons of life, he'll draw us back to a place of, okay, Lord, I'm at your feet. This is the one thing. He'll draw you back by his Spirit to the one thing. And from that one thing, he'll lead you into those paths of righteousness for his name's sake. But sometimes it's going to be first things first. Not always, but sometimes. It's first things first. He's going to make you lie down. He's going to restore your soul. When your soul's restored, then you have eyes to see and ears to hear what he wants to tell you to do. So I kind of say that to say this. As sometimes we're obsessing in prayer and trying to get that thing figured out, man, take some time to lie down. Make that transition not the most important thing. Go back and make him the most important thing. Lord, I'm not here because of that. I'm here because I love you, and I love you are my all, and I magnify you above even this transition. I love you. You have my heart. There are these places of the heart that he will call us back to. And I might have lost my controller. Did I? Sorry. It could be my battery, too. No, it looks like I got a good battery. Get a little help there. All right. So the next thing is, for pray, then we need to plan. And what is that? Basically, that's where we're taking the next step. So we get in prayer, and many times, you know, as we're praying, we begin to plan. And planning is huge because I'll tell you, this is where your personal relationship with God is personal and where he gets into your heart, and we're not serving a religion. Christianity's real. We're children of God, and he's really put his Spirit in our hearts to lead and guide us into all truth. And yeah, we don't get the satisfaction of seeing the writing in the sky. It is impressions of the heart, and yet they're very real impressions. And they're true, and God will confirm those impressions. But these are some of the ways as you begin to plan and begin to navigate some of those transitions that we see how God works in us. Philippians 2 says, it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Not in your own strength, for it is God who all the while effectively is at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. So as we're praying things out, we're listening. And as we're listening, this is where kind of the planning part comes in. You're listening for those things that God is showing you, those things that he's putting in your heart. Now, I've had different inflection points where you've got a transition and you've got several options. And, you know, it would be easy if it was just choosing between
good and evil. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about transition. You're not choosing between good and evil. You're talking about choosing between multiple options that can all be good, that could all be fine. But you're wanting to know, hey, what is God's will for my life? What is his plan for me? And so I'm discerning of these things that I could do. What's God? Where is God in it? And I'll just give you a little practical step that I've done in some of my transition planning. I will literally, get out a piece of paper and put down some T-charts and say pros and cons and look at each one. That's not cheating. It's not unspiritual to do that. You can literally write it out because sometimes it can be confusing if you try to keep all track of all that stuff in your head. Just get it all out and say, if I do this way, this will be the pros, cons. This, pros, cons. No problem at all. And I've done that, and then you just pray over that and say, Lord, okay, just show me what your direction is. Because no matter what he shows you, there's likely to be some cons there that you'll have to, okay, but that means this, this, and this. That's okay, though. Because when God begins to show you, then you've got grace for whatever those cons are. He'll make it clear in your heart. But I remember kind of relating this, that one of the times I had these transition situations, it's like I could do this, this, or this, A, B, or C. And the Lord just said, what keeps coming up the most to you? I think, oh, well, that was easy, And so I thought, in this case, it was really helping our pastor start a church. We had different options that we could do. So, yeah, helping our pastor start this new church. And said, okay, that's great. And then all of a sudden, I began to get insight and revelation and how that was going to bless my life and help me. But I kind of say that to say this, God works in you to will and to do. In other words, as you're getting stuff in your heart, kind of capture that, write that down. And again, transitions, I know, are broad, can be bigger, smaller transitions. But these transitions are powerful because when you begin to see, the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance things that he's already shown you. And as you write it down, you kind of look over those things, and you can kind of, again, lawyer it in your head, but when you look at it with your heart, something leaps. There's peace. Let the peace of God rule. There will be things that will jump out as you begin to look at options, that the Holy Spirit will begin to work in you. He'll begin to energize and create in you the power and the desire and the will. And that's a good indicator. When you begin to think about stuff in your heart, you think, wow, that's exciting. That would be fun. That means there's probably something that's working in you. And obviously I'm talking about things that are scriptural and good and right, but he's working something in you that would be, that would give you an interest. A lot of times it's just your patience to be able to do something and to stick with it, because somebody else could think of that thing and think, wow, that would just be a lot of work. Well, they don't have the energy and the strength to do that. God isn't working in them to do that. But you're listening to what God is working in you. Listen, pay attention to what you have energy and strength and what you have attention span for. That's a good sign that God is working in you and moving you in an area. Jesus said, my doctrine is not mine, but he who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak in my own authority. If any man desires to do his will, God's pleasure, he will know, have the needed illumination to recognize and can tell for himself whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking to you from myself or of my own accord or of my own authority. I love that. In other words, Jesus didn't get all defensive about whether he really was from God or really wasn't from God. He just said, hey, if you've got the Spirit of God, you're going to be able to tell whether this is God or not. In other words, there's the Spirit will do the heavy lifting in bearing witness to truth that even human reasoning can't fully articulate all the time. There's an intuitive knowing. Jesus said, and that's what he would say many times. He never tried to, come on, believe me. He'd say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He knew that he was speaking by the Spirit of God. He was very secure in that, just saying what he heard the Father say. Didn't speak on his own authority. That takes some restraint to be able to just say what you hear the Father say. But once he said it, then he had total confidence in the things that he was saying perfectly. And he said, if you hear it, that's going to be good. But when you get that, it's all of a sudden you begin to get things in your heart, and it's like, wow, that's God. Yes, I could lawyer it either way, but I know the Spirit of God. He's illuminated. He's shown me for myself that this is something God wants me to do. He's working in me to will and to do, but he also provides a needed illumination to know when a word is from Jesus, when the word is right, when the word is from God. That's one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit, to lead and guide us into all truth. And then finally, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, from which you are also called in one body. Be thankful. Let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ's rule, act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state to which he has, to which as members of Christ's one body, you were called to live. And be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. Here again, just another powerful way as we're going through transitions is we're listening not only for the how he's energizing or giving us impressions, but we're listening for peace. We're following peace. And in the same way, it's not cheating to write down pros and con charts to be able to go back to and pray over. It's not cheating to go in a direction and check your heart as to whether you have peace or not. The Apostle Paul did this in his second missionary journey. Him and the gang didn't even know exactly where to go next as they were pioneering the gospel to the known world at the time. So they just went in the direction of Asia Minor. And the Spirit said, nope, not Asia Minor. They went in the direction of Bithynia. The Spirit of God forbade them. And then Paul had a little revelation about a guy from Macedonia, a dream, saying, come on over here. But they went in some directions and the Spirit forbade them. Now, they weren't wrong to go in a direction. It's not wrong to go in a direction and have the Spirit forbid you. No, that's part of, there's a feeling out process that's legal. It takes humility, but I'm so glad that we've got the example of the great Apostle Paul. He didn't just get a map from God. Okay, Paul, here's your second missionary journey. Nope. Paul just had to go by faith. And he went in some directions that he thought could be God, you know, but it turned out, no, that's not what God wanted. And he was able to turn the camels and the donkeys and everything around and go another direction. Took some humility to do that. But then he'd go another direction. Nope, that wasn't it. Then go another direction. Yes, that's it. What does that show? It shows that it's okay to check things out. I'll say this too. Like if you're thinking about, hey, I'll say this, you know, with kids going to college and whatnot. It's always good to go to a campus. Check it out. Spy out the land, you know. Check some things. You got some things in here? Check it out. Go there. You know, just make sure that when you get there, you get that same kind of confirmation. Yeah, okay. Yeah, this is kind of what I was thinking. Or, well, maybe not. Maybe it's something else, you know. But it's not cheating to check things out and let the peace of God rule in some of those things. Try some things. Hey, because, you know, I've had some ideas, you know, even, you know, I just, yeah, I've had some ideas. And I've went some directions going, you know, I had some energy for about that much. But then when I went, it's like, oh, boy, this is work. I don't, you know, it's just like, no, I thought I did. So sometimes you try some things, and that's fine. It's fine to go on some things and to see whether you've got grace for that or not. You know, there's maybe an interest. Maybe God's going to use you to pray about it and do maybe give toward it or something like that. But, you know, you begin to find out by peace, you know, what God has for you and what he's called you to do. So, again, not cheating to try some things, test some things, search some things out, and see if that continues to get stronger and stronger in your life. And then finally, it's just persevere. It's staying the course. Jeremiah, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts for peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. When you call upon me and go and pray to me, I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search me with all your heart. Man, the plans that he has for you are good. You know, Ephesians 2:10 says that we are his workmanship, handiwork, work created in Christ Jesus, that we may do the good works that he's predestined us, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. And this is kind of, again, part of the transition process. You're getting out there. You're taking some steps, you know, and you know you got a clear, that call from God that he has confirmed. He's made it clear in your heart. Even when you do that again, there's going to be a persevering. I remember when we came to start a Door of Life, and one of the first things I was called upon to do was to be a part of the scanned devotions, okay? And we've got the Sunday devotions, which are great. You can bring Julie and all of our kids, and it was fun to be able to do that and have minister and sing and different things like that. But then they said, oh, but yes, Pastor Ed, there's also a Tuesday devotion. I said, oh, okay, a Tuesday devotion too. Yeah, and so I thought, you know, that's really more of a small scale down, just like a little thing where you just share from the scripture. And I said, okay, that's great. So I get there, and I find that we're also supposed to do some singing there as well too. And the piano player is not there. And preferably you bring your own piano player and whatnot, but it was a deal where it was tough. You know, we had four small children and just getting away for Julie to be able to come all the time to do it, it was kind of a tough deal. And so I'm there, and I'm, you know, in one of these Tuesday morning devotions, and I'm supposed to lead singing, and I distribute the hymnals, and I thought, oh, Lord, and no, an a cappella, just putting yourself out there, all right? And then I did the dumbest thing I could have had. I said, is there any requests? Is there anything anybody wants? It's already bad enough. Why? You know, it's like, you know, Amazing Grace or something really, you know, joy, and just, I don't know. And all of a sudden, they're excited, these old hymns that I don't know who's ever heard them before, but, you know, on these pages, songs I've never seen before, never heard before, and these ranges, and a cappella, and I'm leading out, and then you got other people that are kind of pulling on you with questions, and you're trying to answer their questions while you're singing at the same time. There was a gal, bless her heart, it's like, I don't belong here, I really need to, you know, right in the middle of just trying to lead, and it's already bad, it's already a train wreck, and you got another train coming down on a train wreck, okay? And right there, I'm going, wow, Lord, am I supposed to be here? Did I miss God? Am I supposed to be, where is it? Door County, really? Okay. Because I was feeling like really bad. I mean, I was feeling like this can't be God, you know? But, you know, say that to say this. You did hear from God. You did what he called you to do. And when you get out there, there are going to be situations and adversities and things like that come up. And that's just part of it. And I'm so glad none of you guys were there to see that or to hear that. Praise God. I'm sure most of those people have gone home. That was 20 years ago. So, but anyway, that was, you know, it was one of those things where I just thought, no, because, you know, then it was like, you know, the next day or service or whatever, you know, there's something awesome happened. God used me, and praise God. All right, pick up where I left off. So a lot of times you're going through stuff, and yeah, you're gonna have things happen. You're gonna have opposition. You're gonna have different. Obviously, the Apostle Paul had opposition, and where he went. So we don't gauge things by opposition. We don't gauge things by everything not going right or perfectly or things like that. There's a persevering in that. There's a persevering. A lot of times people will get into things in their head. You know, a lot of times demonic wisdom works this way. You know, self-seeking and things like that. And they said, you can offend yourself out of the plan of God. You don't have to. I remember just getting into a situation and said, Lord, there's no way out of this. This is checkmate. There's no way out. He said, no, it's not checkmate. You can forgive your way out of this one. And just stay put. And just endure. And just let the Spirit of God come and heal and restore and go on. Sometimes that's what you're going to do. You're going to persevere in some of these. It doesn't mean you missed God. It just means you're going to persevere. You'll get through. And sometimes you look back and think, wow, I could have blew something up. I'm glad I didn't blow it up. I was so mad I wanted to blow it up. But thank God I just had grace to just stay put. Did I have answers? No. Was there pain? Yes. But God was there. And God helped me. And God strengthened me. And God helped me get through another day. And then another day. And then another day. And then before you know it, okay, here we go. Praise God. There's a persevering in some of these transition times too. I'll tell you what, there's nothing like being able to pull in to him. That's why I said sometimes he's going to bring you back to the green pastures and the still waters, and restore your soul to where he is the most important thing in my life. I love no one, no thing. You are my one thing. It's a profound song for us to sing this morning because that's really the place in transition that he brings you back to. You're my one thing. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can forgive all things through his love that's been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. I can do whatever he's called me to do. His grace is sufficient for me. You know, the Apostle Paul had one of those things. I prayed 3 times that you remove. And the Lord just said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. There are times when you are growing places. You might have, if you could have met yourself 10 years before you ran into that, you said, I would have never been put up with that. And here you are 10 years later, putting up with it and growing and having grace and having strength. Dear younger me, you have no idea what you're going to be able to do when that time comes. But that's because his grace is sufficient. He's there, and there's just times we're going to persevere. The optics aren't always going to look good, but you know what? He's there, and his grace is there. So there's transitions in life. As we're going through stuff, we just start simply by praying. Make sure that we've asked the obvious. Make sure that in all our ways we're acknowledging him, all right? Sometimes in about, 50% I can acknowledge him, 50% I can talk to people, but all my ways, I want to make sure I've prayed about it, that I've gotten in faith about that thing, whatever it is, and just continue to pray. And sometimes God will just show you even more effectively how to pray in your prayers, specifically. Plan, take the next step, pay attention to the things that are going on in your heart, document them if you need be, go back and pray, let God guide you, let the peace of God guide you, and then finally persevere. Just stay the course. Yeah, there's some things that are going to go on, but you know he's there. He hasn't left you. Choose love. Choose love. Let love have its perfect work in you. Where there's perfect love, it casts out all fear. When that sweet, sacred place of God, Jesus said, you got to love me more than father, mother, brother, sisters, wife, children, all the relationship, family stuff. You got to. When you do, it sets you free from the fear of everybody in that list too. Because you love him and his grace is sufficient for you. There's a work of love, praise God, that'll get you through those transitions, that'll help you persevere as well too. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. Oh, that you're here, that your spirit, your word are with us. We're so grateful for just how you are actively involved in our lives, Lord. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I lift up my heart to you. You see my transitions. I give my heart in prayer. I want you to be Lord over everything, to direct all my steps. So I let my requests be made known to you. And I let your peace that passes my understanding guide my steps. Lead me as a good shepherd. Green pastures, still waters, restore my soul and lead me into those paths. Walk me through the transitions and I will persevere because your grace is sufficient for me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning. You know, it's so good. You know, some of those transition places obviously can be some hard times depending on the nature of it. But you come through those transitions and there's just nothing like knowing God a little bit more than you knew him before and knowing that he's faithful. The scripture says experience produces hope. And sometimes you get some major, wonderful experiences that'll strengthen hope in your life for that next thing. Amen. Praise God.